Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we are able to be together again. And I'm just going to continue on the message I've been sharing on entering into full sonship. We've been talking a lot about Romans, the 8th chapter, and concepts and principles that God wants us to understand. Deep revelation that He gave the Apostle Paul. And so as we grasp more and more what the Spirit of God is telling us, our lives are going to be changed and transformed. It says we're changed from glory to glory. I trust you want that. if you're listening, I know I have some amazing UCM partners, and I know where their hearts are at, and I trust my prayer is that the whole body of Christ would yearn and desire the things of God with all that they are. There's nothing more important than serving God. We're living in very critical times. We're in the last of the last days. We don't know. We can't put a timetable on what God has set in his own province. Remember when the disciples were asking Jesus, you know, you're going to restore the kingdom? And He said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons which the Father has put into His own hands. God gives His people information, knowledge on a, quote, need-to-know basis. We want to know it all. We all have figured it all, planned out. How many books have been written about, you know, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? You know what? Jesus is coming again then. That's the most important thing. Hold on to that. So we've been talking about the fact that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, with a specification, if you will, to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. And beloved, the only way anyone, you can, myself, how can we ever kill the old man, is to deal with that carnal nature, the old man, by the Word of God. That's how Jesus dealt with the devil. It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And He used the Word of God and was successful, showing us an example at the end of His fast when the devil came in the desert to tempt Him. And so we've professed long enough, and it's time we began to possess what we've talked about. And being full gospel, I'm referring especially to full gospel or Pentecostal churches. In other words, what the Bible talks about in the pages of especially the New Testament, we should be able to have it today. We want the same power. We want the signs and wonders. Well, we're going to have to be like them, submitted to God, a people of prayer. You know, we've professed sonship, but we've not walked or looked or acted like the Son of God, Jesus. And the Scripture states very plainly and clearly, you shall know them by their fruits. Oh, there are a numbers of churches and ministries who have so yielded to God. There's many pastors and evangelists who've yielded to the Lord. But, you know, I'm just speaking in generalities, not just the exceptions. Some are wonderful examples of a godly man or woman living wholeheartedly for the Lord. And I bless God for those like that. But we all should be on fire. You know, for example, some may walk in, at least by name, as a Pentecostal church or full gospel, and yet there's no gifts moving. For example, I remember when this was decades ago, my goodness, I was back in Michigan ministering or sharing some time with an aunt who'd had a stroke, and I went to a Christian fellowship, and I felt God wanted to move by, and I was very young in the Lord, but he wanted to move by the gift of tongues and then the interpretation of tongues. And of course, I'd never done that before, and I was really scared. I was saying, Lord, I really need your help. And would you believe, behind me, a woman gave a message in tongues. So it was like, okay, I really did have the mind of the Lord. It wasn't me. Someone else was to do it. And then I gave the interpretation. And after service, I remember the song leader came up to me, and he was so thrilled. He said, oh, we've been praying for this to happen. And God took two people that, you know, I'd never been there before. I was there once and not to return. But God was honoring their prayers. But there are so many that are, they don't want that. You know, if you give a message in tongues, or better yet, trying to let the Holy Spirit give you a prophecy or an interpretation, you know, if the pastor doesn't just stop you outright, as soon as you're finished, two deacons will have you by the arms, taking you outside to talk to you about misbehaving. You know, I can remember Brother Glass shared, he was at a Pentecostal convention in Southern California. Oh, this is a number of years ago, and a young man was moved down by the Holy Spirit and actually stood up in that crowd of 3,000 or 4,000 people and gave a message in tongues. And there were about 20 ministers, he said, on the platform, and they should have been so in tune with God that any one of them could receive the interpretation. What happened? Well, the host of the convention stepped to the microphone and told the people, ladies and gentlemen, this young man is sincere, but he has learned that this is out of order. Please forgive him. Brother Glass said you could have heard the silence 20 miles away. Here was the president of a Bible college, a Pentecostal Bible college by that, telling the convention that giving a message in tongues was out of order. You know, then I can recall years ago when we were very active in our fellowship, when Brother Glass was alive, I remember we went to a conference in Southern California. It was a regional, and there was a brother. He was Hispanic in terms of background. He was by himself, and he was in the front on the left side, and he would, when the worship started, he would simply very quietly move out into the aisle, and he would dance before the Lord. Oh my goodness, beloved, I have never seen anyone dance like he danced. It wasn't extravagant. It wasn't choreographed. He shut his eyes, his face uplifted, and he danced with his whole heart. It was such a holy and a sacred thing. You could almost not want to look at it because he forgot everything. He was just worshiping his God. And of course, this was a minister's fellowship, and I can remember the head of the fellowship there was hosting it, kind of said, kind of apologized for him. It's like, please, you know, just kind of overlook him. He's really sincere. And he mentioned that this particular brother had been in every drug rehab program that the county of Los Angeles offered, and nothing helped him, nothing. He was not delivered until he had an experience with Jesus, and he was dancing for the God and for the Lord who gave him liberty and freedom. Oh my goodness, I told the brother after, so I said, brother, don't ever stop dancing. And so, beloved, you know, I was in a church once, literally, I'm just, this is it. I don't care. I'm just sharing. This is stuff I have personally experienced in a church service where the minister said the only New Testament expression of praise and worship to God is a lifting up of the hands. Anything else, like dancing in the Spirit, do you know what he said? He said, well, under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out yet. That the Holy Spirit was, I mean, he moved, he would anoint the prophets, the kings, or teachers, you know, but the Holy Spirit wasn't indwelling. And so when David danced before the Lord with all his might, he was doing the best he could. He was dancing in the flesh because he didn't have the Spirit of God. And, well, what can you say? Well, you just might. You know, people that don't believe in the power of God, some of you listening, I mean, if you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, like it talks about in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, you don't believe it's for today, well, just rip those pages out of your Bible. But all I know is they're in every Bible that I have. It's there. And no, it's not time dated. I believe God put it there. Like, as God spoke through the prophets to Israel, yes, it has historical application. But the principles, the will of God, the counsel of God is true for every generation from that time until the time Jesus returns. And so that's how short-sighted men can be, how short-sighted we are to limit the power of God. If we need the power of God, beloved. Now, you know, of course, these sorts of things don't happen everywhere, you know, in every full gospel church or convention, but it points up the need we have to preach the whole Word of God to the church world, to the unsaved, whether they're evangelical or fundamental or full gospel. Multitudes of people, multiplied thousands, are living below the victorious life standard that's set forth by Jesus Christ and taught by his apostles to the early church. Let's read that verse 11 again in Romans. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Notice, Paul didn't say that if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead comes and goes from you. He said the Spirit dwells in you. And beloved, it is by the Spirit of God that we can do those exploits, do those works God has called us to do. It is by the Spirit of God that we speak in tongues, that we can give a message in tongues, that we can prophesy. It says, you know, everyone could prophesy by turns. What is that? It's God simply sharing his will and heart. Now, of course, have there been excesses? Yes. In fact, unfortunately, it's because of excesses and fleshly attitudes that have caused much leadership to say, you know, we're not going to go there. But I remember an old Pentecostal preacher used to come to our Hayward meetings, and he said, Brother Glass, you don't ever worry about wildfire in the church. There's enough wet sacks to put it out. Well, having said that, I guess I got a little stirred up today, but we will continue on next broadcast, which will be next week. I thank you for joining me, and I love you, pray for you every day, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best be yours.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.